Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get into that, it's important to remember that this show could not be done without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. So please support them so we can continue to share these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we got Mike Neumeyer, and he is with Arketti. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, glad to be here, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get too far into things, Mike, share a little bit about Arketti. How do you serve the community? What are you guys up to?
Great, thanks. Arketti is an agency that works exclusively with B2B technology companies in digital marketing and public relations. We've had the fortune over the past 15 plus years to work with some of the greatest technology companies here in Atlanta. And we're a small bunch of geeks that just enjoy business-to-business technology. And we put on our armor every day and go out and fight for them and help them find ways to earn media coverage, to develop lead generation programs, to build their brands, and to engage in digital marketing in a way that attracts customers to them. So that's what we do. Our mantra is where marketing generates revenue, and that's what we firmly believe in.
Now, how are you advising your clients to deal with this pandemic where a lot of businesses have been turned upside down? Maybe in your world, it has been less so because a lot of these people can already maybe work remotely and serve their clients without going into an office. So what was kind of the methodology? Like, the pandemic hits, what did your team do to kind of, you know, get everybody on board and to get your customers, clients kind of thinking the right way?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, for lack of a better word, an interesting real-life experience. A couple observations. Organizations have business continuity programs and have crisis communications programs that address when big things happen, when a manufacturing facility burns down, when a natural event like a hurricane happens. And as business people, especially larger and savvier organizations, have thought this through rather well. I think very few organizations had a plan that addressed their entire organization having to stop everywhere. Usually, even with business continuity, things can happen in other regions and with other offices. This is really a systematic shutdown, and same for crisis communication. So it was a new way of looking at things. And Lee, what we saw in our clients and the clients that performed the best, they took what some people would consider a counterintuitive approach. You at first had to put your workforce first. Everything had to focus on your employees. And we're so used to hearing the customer comes first, the customer comes first. It's such a unique system that smart organizations address their workforce first. And what are their concerns? What needed to be done? And how could they communicate effectively with the workforce? Then they were able to slide into their customers and what they can do to reassure and help their customers, and then slide into the community at large. So it was an interesting flip, but organizations that did that, in our view, seemed to have a better result. So that at the beginning of this crisis was what we saw in the corporate communications world. Now, what we're seeing is organizations starting to focus on the return to workplace. The Institute for Public Relations released a report just a few weeks ago that surprisingly said only 10% of global chief communications officers had even begun extensive planning on employees' return to the office. And this is a little surprising. And our advice would be chief communications officers, CMOs, this is the time they need to be acting and leading to help their organizations think through how and when to return to the workplace. It's not an operational decision. It's a full management team decision. And we think comms should be, if not at the head of the table, right there at the right hand of the person who is.
Now, what about when it comes to marketing? How are you helping your clients thread the needle on trying not to be too salesy during this time and not be inappropriate, but still let everybody know that they're open for business and there's still work to be done?
Yeah, I think putting things in context of the current situation and as it's evolving are important. And organizations need to be mindful that they don't jump to how they've always done things. And providing information to your customers in a format and a factor that is suitable for them is a great thing. Organizations that have stood up landing pages specifically for industries that they serve, providing tools to help their customers get through the current situation, even if it was outside their bailiwick, even if it's providing helpful information, not just product information. And then as we start to slide into the next phase, the ability to look at things like replacing images of in-person meetings and activities and interactions with visual counterparts. Social distancing is the new norm, so we have to rethink, do we want to use imagery of crowded places, of large groups, of handshaking? How do we want to incorporate that? And then in context, we need to take a look at words, viral, spread, distance, curve. They've all taken on new meanings. So as we use those words in marketing material, we have to be sensitive to what that new meaning is like. And is that a pro or a con? I think there have been some great examples out there of people doing it right, and there have been some examples of people doing it wrong.
You bring up a great point in that some of their materials that they've had for a long time and they just maybe have taken for granted, they needed a new look because, like you said, the big stock photo of people having a handshake, which is on, you know, a lot of websites, takes on a whole new meaning in today's world. All of a sudden, it makes you look like you're out of touch. So you were trying to let people know that you're kind of approachable, and now it looks like you're kind of being callous in some way. So an audit of your existing materials is probably in order for a lot of companies.
Absolutely. And another thing that savvy organizations are starting to realize over the past 2 years or so, especially in B2B technology, there's been a lot of work around truly understanding your buyer's journey. The buyer is in so much control today. So you want to understand how they go through making a decision, what pieces of content and information impact them at certain points in that decision making. So if you had all that locked down at the end of 2019 and you knew your buyer's journey and you knew what triggers to use at what point, it's all different now because tools have been taken off the table. Trade shows have been taken off the table. Seminars have been taken off the table. In-person meetings, face-to-face demos have been taken off the table. Even direct marketing, which we've been huge fans of over the last few years, because everyone is so inundated with email that actually getting something cool in the mail is neat, that's taken off the table with 51% of the workforce working from home. You can't get to them through the mailbox, through the real mailbox. So you have to consider, even though you might have already done it, now's the time to go back into building out what is that buyer's journey. And organizations that do that use a mix of quantitative research in terms of content that's absorbed and popular on their website, surveys of customers and prospects to understand the buying stages, and then fill that in with qualitative interviews to add the richness around it. So buyer journey research will need to be redone so you can know how buyers are attracted and want to meet you in the marketplace.
Now, we talk a lot about how you're counseling your existing clients. How has onboarding a brand new client changed in your world? Are you asking the same questions that you were asking pre-pandemic, or is kind of the approach shifted a little bit because of this new reality we're in?
I think like most folks, I mean, we have obviously had to go to virtual onboarding with new clients. And that's a little bit different, but the process remains basically the same. And to be quite honest, we've been in such a near virtual world for so long that I had joked over the years that increasingly we saw our out-of-town clients more face-to-face than our in-town clients. Now, we're at least seeing our clients because everyone will want to get on a Teams meeting or a Zoom call or a GoToMeeting, and we'll spin up their cameras and folks are at least used to this video first environment, which is nice. But Leah, hasn't changed a whole lot to be honest. But we do miss the ability to be face to face and are optimistic that, that is not lost. That will come back.
Now, is there anything that's happening now that post-pandemic you're going to implement or continue to do? Like, did you learn something while going through this? So you're like, you know what, this can work beyond the pandemic.
Well, I've been doing personally a lot of work on the return to workplace issue and a lot of studying and building out thinking around that. Just today, Facebook announced that 50% of its workforce will most likely never go back to their office. While I think there's some excitement and interest around that, Twitter said they probably never go back. I think we'll have to watch that. I mean, folks are super engaged right now. They're very productive and they're very engaged in their work. And organizations can be looking at it and saying, wow, engaged and productive in a work from anywhere environment, maybe we don't need an office. I'm interested in seeing what's the long-term sustainability of that. People are doing that for a number of reasons. One, job security. It's like, I've got a job, I'm going all in with the amount of workforce laid off right now. Number two, I've got nothing else to do. I mean, I've got nowhere to go. So I'm going to work all the time. Those long-term aren't healthy solutions for the worker, for the organization. They'll lead to burnout. So I think we'll have to watch how the work from anywhere environment evolves. But I think you'll see more organizations open to some work from anywhere type of thing. As we've tackled the issue, have put in place for our clients what we call the four I's methodology, which is when you're considering your return to the office strategy, we recommend following the four I's. The first is insights, collecting the data to help you make informed decisions around the opening. And then internal is I number two, and that's that communications with your internal stakeholders to ensure a smooth and efficient workplace reopening. Then there's in market, which Lee, we talked about a little bit earlier. How does your in market change? Your communications that address your customers, your constituents, and the community, because they all are very interested in what your organization's doing. And then the fourth I is impact. And that's the short-term, long-term changes. And that's where the question mark is. What will happen? Don't know. We'll have to see. I will say a lot of people are in that first stage, that insight stage, which I've seen folks make some huge mistakes there. Primarily as business leaders, I think the gut is we've got to get back to the office. Man, we got to get back to the office. And you project upon your workforce that I'm sure everyone wants to get back to the office. We want to get back to normal. I mean, it's that little bit of the type A type drive. And really step number one is gut check that with your workforce. You need to understand what their concerns are and specifically what they're concerned about. And every organizations I've worked with that have gone out and done that internal review to understand their employees have been shocked at the level of concern. And it's been a real gut check to say, wow, we thought we'd be back after Memorial Day, but maybe that's not the right move.
Right, because there's a lot of things out of the control of the employee that are affecting their ability to even go back to work, like with schools closed and things like that. To not take that into consideration, you're going to have some maybe upset employees.
Yeah, and just straight up the health concern, you know, and then you have multiple factors with are they living with people that are in a compromised group? We've even seen comments like, what happens if a fellow employee goes on vacation? I can't control where they're going to go and who they're going to see. So when they come back, do they need to quarantine for 2 weeks? You might say that's a silly question because you don't know after 5 o'clock where they're going and who they're seeing. But it's not a silly question. It's a legitimate concern. So management needs to really know what the concerns are and need to take them to heart and not write them off because it is their perspective and you're all a team. I also think at this point, what we recommend when you're doing that type of internal look is you also gut check your organization's purpose and values. The last 3 years, we've seen this race for organizations to develop a purpose. What is our purpose? What are our values? And at the end of last year, I wrote a piece for Forbes and talked about how in 2020, organizations have purpose and value in place. And 2020 is going to be about how do you activate that purpose and value and how do you make it believable? Well, there's no better way to activate your purpose and value than go through a crisis. And we're going through, hopefully at the end of, but we're going through a major crisis right now. So how did your purpose and values live up? And you have to be honest. Were they good? Does your workforce believe in them? Were you true to them? Or were they just something that was on the wall? If they were just something that was on the wall, that's okay. You now need to refine those, right?
Right.
Because living up to those and making those real and making them come off the wall and be in the workplace and be out there with your customers and be in the community, that's what really having the purpose and values about. So this crucible has, has sped that process up by 12 months, I think.
Right.
That's something to gut check, I think, with your workforce also.
Right. And it's like you say, a crisis kind of reveals character. So, you know, your behavior and what your actions you're taking are going to tell a big story to the people on your team as well as the public. Now, I have a question for you about talent. Right now, there's a bunch of, you know, kind of people who just graduated out of college. How is it for them? How would you recommend they approach getting involved in the communications profession during this time? Is this a good time to be looking for a job or is this a challenging time? How would you recommend? What counsel do you have for the young folks?
Yes, I actually did a session last week with the Public Relations Society of America's Georgia chapter on this very topic. And It's just blunt and straightforward. This is a terrible time to graduate. This is, you know, 30 plus million unemployed. It is not going to be an easy time to find a job, and there's no way around it. So as disheartening as that is, there are still things that people, young folks who are coming out of the university, things they can do. They can further invest in themselves right now by a ton of organizations are offering free online classes to get certified in certain areas, whether it's Google Analytics or WordPress or, you know, back-end development or digital marketing. Learn a skill you haven't had before, and digital marketing is tremendous. The business world CIOs have been talking about the digital transformation with inside enterprises being pushed forward, like accomplished in 5 weeks, what they thought would take 5 years. In the marketing world, the importance of digital marketing, I think, made a similar jump. There were folks that always said, yes, digital marketing is important, but we're still going to do our events. We're still going to do our face-to-face. We're still going to do, you know, we're still going to do, done it, done it, do. Now digital marketing is so very important. So if you don't have that bone, you need to get it, type of thing. And then all you can do is keep looking for jobs. It's going to be tough for a little while. I'm hoping the recovery will be swift. And that will be great. On the employer side, Lee, I think it's going to be really tough. I mean, we've talked with our management team. Hiring an entry-level person in a virtual environment where you can't give them one-on-one mentoring, where they can't learn by absorbing and observing behavior and modeling, that is really tough. And that's one reason why I think the total work from anywhere is not 100% going to happen, because, you know, I remember when I was in my early 20s and my first job, you know, I needed to see what other people did. I needed to know that people were there at 8:30 in the morning. I needed to model in order to learn. I think doing it all virtually is going to be really tough. But, you know, tough builds character.
Right. And a lot of great companies were formed and built during tough times. So I'm sure this will be
absolutely
no different. Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about Arcady or get on your calendar, what is the coordinates?
Great. Well, Arcady, we're super easy to find. It's Arcady.com. I guess you need to know how to spell Arcady, though. It's A-R-K-E-T-I. Think about the middle of the world word marketing. That is where we live. So just hopping over to arkety.com will do it. And I know we also talked pretty extensively about reopening. We do have a landing page to help folks at arkety.com/reopenready. That has a number of assets that communications and marketing folks can download and use as they're participating in the reopening discussions for their organizations.
Well, Mike, great talking to you, and thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Hey, Lee, thanks for everything you guys at Business Radio X do. It's a great platform, and we enjoy it immensely.
All right. This is Lee Cantor, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, we could not be telling these stories without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. So please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.